This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's day four of the big Los Angeles public school teachers strike, but the two sides are scheduled to sit down for renewed talks at noon local time. And a spokeswoman for the teachers union says,
"And our team will work long and hard toward an agreement."
President Trump is heading to the Pentagon shortly to discuss U.S. missile defenses. It's a response to concerns about missile program advancements in China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. Upgrades to U.S. systems, though, would be very expensive and would require authorization from Congress.
Be straight up. Look, I don't want you in front of the American people making your case. That's why she's doing it. It's trite and petty.
That's Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger's take on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's request that President Trump reschedule his State of the Union address until after the government shutdown. She cites security concerns. This is USA Radio News.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Hey, Charlie Jones here. The new year is finally upon us, and to make 2019 a better year, it all starts with a good night's rest. And right now, MyPillow's best offer ever has been extended. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the end of the year special for the lowest price MyPillow has ever offered for their four-pack, including free shipping. And their 60-day money-back guarantee has been extended through March 1st. Best price ever, free shipping, extended money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com. Click on the end of the year special to get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows for their lowest price ever. And be sure to use my promo code USA.
Two people dead, including a gunman, a third person wounded at an Alabama IHOP location. Huntsville Police Lieutenant Michael Johnson saying it was a dispute between a worker and a customer that apparently led to last night's shooting.
The customer, this started with the customer that came in for service to dine here and was upset about something, walked out, back out to the parking lot, retrieved a handgun, and came back inside the business and began shooting.
There are some questions about who should get the $50,000 reward in the case of a kidnapped Wisconsin teenager. Jamie Kloss escaped her captor's clutches last week after nearly 90 days in captivity. The 13-year-old had been kidnapped after police say Jake Patterson killed both of her parents. The family that found Jamie when she arrived at their door looking for help says Jamie herself should get the $50,000 as she was able to get away on her own. This is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
A judge is set to issue a verdict today in a Chicago police cover-up case as the Cook County judge has an afternoon hearing scheduled in the case of the three cops accused of lying about Officer Jason Van Dyke's shooting of Laquan McDonald in 2014. Van Dyke was convicted of second-degree murder in the 17-year-old African-American teenager's death. The watchdog at the federal agency that's leasing the president a building on Pennsylvania Avenue for a D.C. hotel has blown the whistle on the deal. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
The inspector general says the General Services Administration should have realized the implications. The GSA's watchdog says her agency had an obligation to uphold and enforce the Constitution, ignoring concerns about the Emoluments Clause, which is now being debated in the courts. She said that meant the GSA foreclosed an opportunity for an early resolution to the issues posed by the president leasing federal property to operate his own hotel.
And children's clothing chain Gymboree is now filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. In its filing, the company says it will be closing 800 Gymboree and Crazy 8 stores in the U.S. and in Canada. The company also looking to sell its Janie and Jack high-end kids fashion line, as well as the online platform for Gymboree. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Well, it has been kicked around. You've heard them say that, look, Democrats none too happy about the direction of the Supreme Court. And it has been suggested that, especially if RBG, Justice Ginsburg, would retire, Democrats have a trump card packing the Supreme Court. Robert Nadelson joins us now, senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute, a former constitutional law professor and a senior advisor to the Convention of States Project. Rob, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
It's great to be with you.
Well, good to be here to talk about this topic and bring some clarity to it, because it has been thrown out there that, I mean, you're talking three picks now by this president that many on the left absolutely abhor. And they're saying, they're trying to tell their base, well, don't worry, because sooner or later the Democrats will take over, and instead of nine justices, maybe we'll go for 16 or whatever.
That's right. Within Democratic Party circles, now they're talking about the idea of packing the court. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that this court is not actually all that conservative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a centrist court by most measures. The two appointments that President Trump appointed were to replace people who were on the court that were conceived of as more, quote, conservative, although I don't usually care for that word in discussing the Supreme Court. But these folks on the left don't want a centrist court. They want one which enacts their social agenda and maybe does away with whatever small amount of jurisdiction the states have.
Mm-hmm.
And so at a conference last month, which was sponsored by Hillary Clinton's former press secretary, several panelists and speakers talked about the idea of when the Democrats take over the presidency and the Congress, changing the number of justices, raising it, and giving a Democratic candidate, a Democratic president, more appointments.
Right. Well, Rob, you know, as you say, you don't necessarily like the idea of titling the justices conservative, liberal. In Chief Justice Roberts took exception at Donald Trump's reference to an Obama appointment, that he's an Obama judge. However way you want to title him, I mean, as you say, the influence here, especially on the left, is to get judges who are more activist and that will promote their agenda. And so whether you want to call them liberal or conservative, I mean, there is a movement afoot here.
Yeah, I'm not against all labeling of judges. I think that there are four justices on the court, including Justice Ginsburg, who are liberal activists. And that's what these folks who are talking about packing the court want to put more of on the court. The reason I react against the word conservative is it's so widely misused by the mainstream media. So, for example, a judge who is, say, like Justice Roberts or Justice Kavanaugh, who's very concerned about precedent and is not going to overturn all that liberal precedent that was established in the 20th and early 21st century, he gets labeled as a conservative, and that's not really right. I think it's much more accurate to say there's one judge on the court, and really only one, who is a consistent originalist, who applies the Constitution as it was supposed to be applied, and that's Justice Clarence Thomas. Then there are four who, in varying degrees, bounce between originalism and just kind of a stand patism, and then you've got the four liberal activists.
Right. Well, Rob, what do you think in terms of balance? I mean, for those that think that we should have more originalists, and as you say here, and you put it in practical terms, and I'm sure it's probably going to disturb some sensitivities here, that when you really look at the rulings and the position, you only have one judge that was an originalist at 1.2 with Scalia. So, what should be the hope of the citizens of America in terms of the court's arrangement?
Well, I think the hope is that justices will be appointed who will enforce the Constitution or interpret the Constitution as it's written and as it was expected to be interpreted. Mm-hmm. That is how, I mean, look, I've been in law now for well over 40 years. I know how documents are interpreted. And there's a basic standard way of interpreting statutes and contracts and wills and state constitutions. It's only with the U.S. Constitution that we veer away from that in order to favor certain interests and the federal government and certain social policies. I think there should be nine justices, as there were early in the 20th century, nine justices who enforce or interpret the Constitution honestly. Mm-hmm. And if we the people disagree with a part of the Constitution, want to see changes, well, that's what the amendment process is about. But not have nine unelected people changing our Constitution on us.
You know, I think it's quite ironic that early in her career, Justice Ginsburg said that, that the key is to change law. If you didn't like something was happening, that it needed to happen, at the legal level and changing law. Now, interestingly, that I guess the process of changing law has become a bit cumbersome even for her psychology. And now she finds herself, I think, in conflict. I mean, she wouldn't say that, and others certainly would not. But I see a conflict there. Do you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have procedures for making changes in our democratic system. If the changes are statutory, we change statutes. If they involve the common law, then we try to convince the court to maybe move in a different direction with the common law. Mm-hmm. And if we object to the Constitution, the appropriate response is to recommend amendments to the Constitution.
Exactly.
It's not to do it kind of this cloak and dagger way, not exactly out of public sight, but circumventing the normal democratic processes. Mm-hmm. And that's been done a great deal. I mean, a good example is the same-sex marriage decision that was issued in 2015.
Right.
I'm not going to make a statement as to whether homosexual marriage is good or bad. That's not the point. The point is you had a basic definition of marriage, which had lasted for thousands of years, that everybody, including the founders of our country and the adopters of the 14th Amendment, understood what it was. And then you have five justices decide that we're going to change all of that, and we're not only going to have a different definition of marriage, but we're also going to impose it as a matter of constitutional law on the states.
Mm-hmm.
That's not democracy. That's not a democratic republic.
Right.
That's oligarchy.
Exactly. Well, we saw what happened in California, 8 million votes. I mean, they put it to the vote. They asked the people. The people came back, 8 million, said, no, marriage is defined this way. And one activist judge said, nope, you got it wrong, and eradicated 8 million votes, and California just yawned. You know, that's the other issue, Rob, that I think more people are increasingly concerned about, is that, yes, we look at the Supreme Court, but you have these federal courts, you have these district courts, where the judges aren't calling balls and strikes. They're basically creating law. We'll be back. We've got more from Rob Nadelson after this.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Back with you as promised, Bill Martinez here. Rob Nadelson is with us. We are, well, I'll tell you, it's a pleasure to have his insight on this issue of the court system. I know many of you had questions about this, about the activism of the court system. And Rob Nadelson, a senior fellow in constitutional jurisprudence at the Independence Institute, a former constitutional law professor, and a senior advisor to the Convention of States Project. Rob, as you say, you know, judges are living longer. You know, it is a tough situation. I think certainly at the district level of judges, even, you know, voting and electing local judges anymore, they've got the system figured out. It is hard for us to vet. I mean, it's tough enough when you know, I'm looking at a Supreme Court justice like Kavanaugh getting grilled and, you know, asked repeated questions, you know, ad nauseum about his background. But when it comes to, you know, at the city level and local level for us to elect a judge, we get scant information about their background. They don't answer information from, you know, committees or organizations that want to see how they're going to judge.
There's no one silver bullet for curing this, but let me throw out a few things.
Okay.
First, at the federal level, I would argue that what we now need is judicial term limits. Remember, at the time of the founding, the average expectancy on the Supreme Court was maybe 8 years. Now it's over 25. What we can do is we can pass a constitutional amendment using the Convention of States process. Yeah. Convention of States recommends the amendment, and then the states approve it. It would give two judges one single long term. No possibility of reelection because we don't want their independence to be harmed.
Mm-hmm.
But we could say, look, you're going to get on a federal court and you're going to stay there for 16 years, good long term, or 14 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good long term, but after that, it's out. You're
right.
Back into the private sector. That would, I think, have a number of advantages. Secondly, at the state and local level, the problem that I understand it in many states is that of nonpartisan elections. When you elect judges in a nonpartisan way, neither party can participate to get information out about these judges. And so the electorate is voting in a veil of ignorance. I mean,
yes.
It's a designed
purpose of ignorance. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And partisan elections for judges, there's nothing wrong with that, so long as you give, again, the judge a decently long term. The state of New York, for example, which for years was the premier commercial state in the country, that relied very heavily on a very fine court system, has traditionally elected its judges in partisan elections. This enables Republican Party, Democratic Party to get out their messages as to particular judges without the judges themselves having to make a lot of promises that they wouldn't want to make. A third issue is a tougher one, and it's one that I became familiar with in my 25 years as a law professor, and that is that the judges that, you know, back in the founding era, judges were trained, lawyers were trained in other lawyers' offices, and certain standards of professionalism were passed down in that way. Today, lawyers and judges are overwhelmingly trained in universities. And in case you haven't noticed, our universities are deeply ill. They are they've become very corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this going on at the universities. At least one of the universities I worked at, the one I worked at for the longest time. And there was there are certain prevailing attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
They're called that pervade these law schools.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is that judges have the power to make law, not just to find law, not just to apply law, but to make law.
Wow!
They even have a word for it. It's called legal realism.
Legal realism. That's a nice euphemism, right?
Yeah. And almost all lawyers are trained that way. They later became judges. They maintain contact with their alma mater. And so the infection has spread throughout the entire judicial system.
Wow. Well, no wonder. Rob, you're a senior advisor to the Convention of States Project. You brought that up. And many of our listeners have been tracking this. How far away are we from having a true Convention of the States event?
Of course, the formal word for it is convention for proposing amendments. That's what the Constitution calls it. We know it is a convention of the states because founding era records tell us that, and the Supreme Court has also said that. As to how far we are, there are a number of different movements for a convention. You need 34 states to sign on to a particular subject matter to require Congress to call such a convention. The balanced budget people have about 27 of the 34 applications. They are, however, likely to run into legal challenges because their applications don't always match. By application, I mean the resolution that the state legislature passes to require Congress to call a convention. And so they have the most, but their applications don't all match. Second most is the Convention of States Project, which has not been around that long, but we have about we have 12 applications, meaning we're a little over a third of the way there. And they are all matching applications, so much less risk of legal problems.
Right. Will there be a blend, possibly? And when you do a convention of the states, is are you limited to just that one resolution, or can you bring an agenda of maybe, you know, 3 to 5 items?
The agenda is set by the states when they pass their resolutions, again, which are called applications. So in the case of the Convention of States Project, we're recommending an application that empowers the convention to consider three issues and only three. One of those is term limits for Congress and federal officials, including judges. One are fiscal limits on the federal government. This could include a balanced budget amendment, but it might include other kinds of fiscal limits. And then the third one is reductions in size and scope of the federal government. What would be outside the agenda that they could not consider? They could not weaken the Bill of Rights. They could not interfere with the state governments. They could not increase federal power. They would, in fact, be limited to those three issues.
What is the possibility of blending the other organization with the you know, with the project that you're heading, the Convention of States Project? Is there a possibility of blending the efforts together to where you'd get some synergism? Because it would, on the surface, appear, you certainly know a lot better than I do. I mean, you are the law professor after all. But it would seem that yours is very comprehensive and to the point.
You know, before I joined the Convention of States Project, I did consulting, and formal or informal, for a number of different Article 5 movements, and to a certain extent I still do. Balanced Budget, for example, Wolfpack, which is actually a left-wing movement that wants campaign finance reform. I don't approve of their application, but this process is open for all Americans. It's like voting, and so I give them honest information about it. The term limits people, people want term limits on Congress. Act 2, which favors a series of structural reforms in the federal government. I've discovered in general it's probably better off that these organizations compete against each other in a friendly way in order to try to reach 34. They learn from each other that way.
Exactly. So maybe at some point there might be some convergence, maybe when they get to that point, right?
So, for example, the term limits folks have already told me that they're in favor of the Convention of States application. So there's some collateral support there. If the balanced budget people make it first, I'm sure the Convention of States people will have their recommendations for a balanced budget amendment. And if Convention of States people make it first, I'm one of the fiscal restraints that they, that you can consider under Convention of States gathering is a balanced budget, and so they'll have input as well. So there, as long as there's this kind of friendly rivalry, once in a while you encounter a group that's kind of, you know, off to the fringes, and they're not really operating in a reputable way, but that's not true of any of the groups operating right now.
Well, that's great. We got to leave it there, Professor. Thank you so much for the information. It's been awesome. Robert Nadelson, Senior Fellow in Constitutional Jurisprudence at the Independence Institute, former Constitutional Law Professor, enlightening us all. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate the time. Take care.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's day four of the big Los Angeles public school teachers strike, but the two sides are scheduled to sit down for renewed talks at noon local time. And a spokeswoman for the teachers union says,
"And our team will work long and hard toward an agreement."
President Trump is heading to the Pentagon shortly to discuss U.S. missile defenses. It's a response to concerns about missile program advancements in China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea. Upgrades to U.S. systems, though, would be very expensive and would require authorization from Congress.
Be straight up. Look, I don't want you in front of the American people making your case. That's why she's doing it. It's trite and petty.
That's Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger's take on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's request that President Trump reschedule his State of the Union address until after the government shutdown. She cites security concerns. This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
For more information and the interviews you love, go to BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Drop me an email. Always love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. You know, every time November 22nd comes and it goes, another anniversary of the JFK assassination on November the 22nd, 1963. We have interviewed and spoken with at least a dozen people who have cited information that they have had regarding the JFK assassination. One of the things that we were shortly teased about, I say shortly because it wasn't long-lived, was that President Trump was going to finally authorize the full disclosure of the findings and all the research. Some was released, but yet so much remains. Our conversation coming up here with Christopher Fulton is a continuation of the conversation, because as you've heard me say many times, and I believe this to be the case, that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. But meanwhile, there are still, and this is all part of the process that we have to go through, is there have been people along the way, as I mentioned, at least a dozen that we've spoken with, that have some information, I believe, that is critical to helping us understand what happened with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Here we are all these years later. We understand and appreciate that today the corruption of our government is on full display. And does it go back to the JFK assassination? I think, you know, certainly there are some indications that it does, and it could even go, you know, even further back from that. And we can talk about that, but that's a whole other conversation. But right now we're going to talk about the book, The Inheritance, Poison Fruit of JFK's Assassination. Christopher Fulton joins us. Christopher, a little bit of his background, was born in the mid-60s just outside of D.C. into a family that was rich in military history. He was supposed to go to the U.S. Naval Academy, and along the way decides, nope, I'm going to do commercial construction instead, and ends up in Vancouver, British Columbia. So, Christopher, from your early beginning of heading into the Naval Academy to entering into commercial construction, how do you get your hands on what is clearly evidence to the JFK assassination?
Yes. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
The good friend of mine that was in Catonsville, Maryland, basically became the adoptive son of Evelyn Lincoln. Evelyn Lincoln was President Kennedy's personal secretary. He was close to him on a daily basis for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
probably the closest person to him other than his brother, Bobby.
Right.
So she was the one that was instructed by Robert Kennedy and another gentleman by the name of Robert Balch, who was the head of the PRS section of the Secret Service, who was a very trusted confidant of President Kennedy. He was the one that was instructed to actually bug the White House, secret tape recordings, to protect himself, keep everybody on record, since there was such dissension mm-hmm. between the propositions of what was happening between the government and the Kennedy administration.
Mm-hmm.
So following Robert Kennedy's death, he had instructed Evelyn Lincoln to keep the bulk of the materials that came out of the White House following the assassination in 63 secret and buried until such time that it could come out to someone who was not going to fall under the guise that was going to destroy it or put it under a security classification away from the American public. So that's what happened. And then between the two of us, we had to review, go through the enormous amount of materials that had come out of the Kennedy White House following his assassination, which included all of the official documentation and the private recordings. I was the first person to review and listen to those. And
wow.
the closest physical evidence that was involved in the frontal headshot to Kennedy, President Kennedy, and the Dallas motorcade. This information came directly through Bobby Kennedy for his investigation and was directly routed out of Parkland Hospital to him direct.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christopher, I mean, for all this information to get out of the Oval Office, Evelyn Lincoln must have, even along the way, realized that, this documentation of history had to take place.
Well, at some point, she knew it did, and she was trying, and she did her very best, and she did a fantastic job, as far as I'm concerned, to give a clear indication of just about everything. She wrote memorandums on everything.
Mm.
And signed them, so she gave a indication of what something was and what the purpose of it was, and so forth and so on. I'll give you an indication. The last thing President Kennedy had written up over at Air Force One when he landed in Love Field was government reform. We are going forward. Now that was a coded message that was supposed to be put in the trademark speech that was not going to be preempted. He was going to insert that, and she had written a memorandum to instruct us of what that was, and she wrote a second memorandum to say this was a private code for Khrushchev to understand what the ramifications were in 9 days from the time that President Kennedy was killed, what was going to take place in Cuba, the changes that were going to take place in the American government and the world, and put us in a more peaceful position.
And give us an idea of what that indication was, I mean, or exactly what the president had in mind.
Well, the president was trying desperately to resolve the issues with Castro, who had become increasingly difficult to deal with the with the U.S. and with Russia. Russia was,
right.
was becoming as concerned as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking at a situation where President Kennedy and Khrushchev were communicating with each other and saying, listen, we trust each other. We have a relationship here, but your Pentagon and your other people there are trying to take us to war.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get a control or handle on this, it could get out of hand and we can have an exchange.
Right.
So Cuba was a catalyst for that, and the Pentagon was trying to force Kennedy's hand into invading Cuba through the CIA and mob connections there, and And we're going to utilize that as a catalyst to take us to war with Russia, mm-hmm. have an exchange with Russia. Of course, the brothers were fighting desperately to stop all of this and reverse this process and take control of this and get rid of these rogue elements. And that's basically, in a nutshell, what cost President Kennedy his life.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we're understanding is that, you know, President Kennedy, even back then, was dealing with the deep state, was he not?
There's no doubt about that. There was an agenda before he even came into the Oval Office, and that Eisenhower had warned him. Mm-hmm. There was a communication between the two and a promise made, and that promise was made between the two men that Kennedy promised Eisenhower that he would keep us out of World War III, that he would prevent that at any cost. Mm-hmm. That's what he did to the detriment of his own life.
And, of course, Eisenhower had cited it as the growing military-industrial complex. And, you know, that is code, and probably you could just write volumes just on that alone.
You could write volumes on that alone. And, of course, Lyndon Johnson was brought in on the BP ticket. Kennedy didn't want him there. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, if there was no Lyndon Johnson, there was no Kennedy administration, then brothers
Correct.
Had to make a very quick decision how they were going to handle that. And that all came through Evelyn Lincoln, where that was all discussed with us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lyndon Johnson was there to protect the interest of the large military contracts and also the mafia that had been utilized through the intelligence service. He's very concerned in keeping control of that intelligence apparatus. President Kennedy was in a battle with him and everybody else to try to keep up more peaceful resolve,
mm-hmm.
was not interested in a 10-year planned war in Vietnam to keep the Russians knowledgeable that we were ruthless, that we would carpet bomb civilians and do anything that we could to stop the spread of communism. President Kennedy thought we should go to the sources, that we should handle these things directly as an intelligent people and world and civilization, and we would have a peaceful resolve to this, that we could mm-hmm. do things in a different way. And the way yeah. things that were happening with these weapons of mass destruction, they were getting out of hand, and there was, even if we had a limited exchange, there'd be no winners, and ultimately we would all suffer terribly for it, and he was not going to let that happen.
Was President Kennedy a bit naive in thinking that he could do that, circumventing this military-industrial complex and the powers that were so well-established? I mean, Dwight Eisenhower understood and tiptoed around it, and, of course, being a general, he could navigate around this. But here's President Kennedy, and, you know, as you mentioned, in some ways, kind of like Trump. I mean, you know, he irritated the establishment that was making a ton of money on the United States being on the trajectory that it was. And, you know, as you say, even the mafia, you know, his brother, Bobby Kennedy, going after them directly.
Kennedy was not naive. He was anything but naive, and he understood that his life was on the line. And he did that for us, for the betterment of the American people and the world. And that was very much understood by him.
Well, the book is called The Inheritance, Poison Fruit of JFK's Assassination. We'll go a bit deeper in this next segment. Stay with us. Christopher Fulton is with us right now, just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea, timeshare contract guaranteed, or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. That's 800-485-2167.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to
use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Pursuing the truth, no matter where it leads, ladies and gentlemen, that's what this is all about here. Because, in the era of fake news, this information age we live in, you want to make your decision based on the facts. Kind of like Joe Friday. We know when we were kids growing up. Maybe you don't remember. Our guest, Christopher Fulton, I think you were too young for that, Joe Friday. And it was always just the facts, ma'am. Give me the facts. And that's what we're talking about.
I remember that very well. I think we need to get back to that kind of a common sense in this country, and we need to get back to understanding. The more that we have real information, mm-hmm. President Kennedy said he believed in the American people have to make the right decisions if they were well informed, and I couldn't agree more.
Well, without a doubt, and I believe we were at a crossroads there, and in hiding the truth about JFK's assassination, it has caused grave injury to this country. It has given way to fake news and the continual lies and corruption that we live with. Interestingly enough, we talk about being a nation of laws. But the other nations around the world, they look at the light of freedom here in America as being compromised because they see it for what it is. I mean, more people outside of this country probably have a better handle of the truth on the assassination of JFK, and that's just a hunch. That's nothing empirical that I can prove, only because I think that in many ways America wants to believe, what the Warren Commission presented to us, and what has been said time and again, that this was all done by Lee Harvey Oswald. Well, for those of us who have been in the military, and we understand the ability of a marksman with a $29 rifle to be able to, accomplish what was accomplished on that day in Dealey Plaza, pretty near impossible. I mean, it would almost have to be a miracle in order to take the president's head off with this kind of shooter, for example, with his, basic experience and with that kind of, bolt action rifle.
You've covered a lot of ground there. I think it is a more clear to see things from an outsider's point of view, and I think America does cling on. A lot of America clings on to what they were told, because without that basis of foundation, what's left?
Yes.
If you know that you've been lied to, then and you don't trust the government that's there to protect the interests of our families and our nation and the world, what do we have to hold on to? President Kennedy thought that we, as the United States, we should be the light of the world, that we should show a true democracy, that we should show true integrity, that we should have strength that illuminates, and that change happens from that way, that people can see clearly after over a period of time who we are and what we are and what we stand for, and that beacon would draw everybody towards us in a very positive way.
Right.
We've turned into a very different society, and of course, I after what I've reviewed and after what I've been through, I understand it very clearly that Kennedy didn't think he'd live that long. Johnson thought he would die by 62. That's why he was very interested in that vice presidency. President Kennedy had worked his whole life. I've read letters from 1942, as early as 42, when he talked about being president of the United States. So he'd worked his whole life to get there, to get to a position of power where he could actually instill some real change for the world. And he was very interested in doing that, and even if it cost him his own life, which it did. I want the American public to understand very clearly that this man and Jackie Kennedy and Robert Kennedy understood the dangers of what they were doing. They weren't naive to this, and they took it on as the most important thing that they could do in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a peaceful resolve and about going forward in a world of peace and a world that we can all be proud of and live in, and our children can continue.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Kennedy was so scared. I've read in her wills from 62 and 63 about all of this, about being shot at, whether it's a false flag or not, and her protection of her children, that she sought out to going to Europe or going wherever she could to stay away and get protection for her kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they were very aware of this. Even on the day that President Kennedy was shot at, he made instructions of the dress she should wear, the bright color, to stay on the far side of the limousine, that he knew that he was told that the information was good, that he would not be shot at in Dallas. He had avoided that prior on two different trips.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the plan was taken advantage of, and President Kennedy was assassinated, and there was a coup in this country that took power away. And
that's really the bottom line of all this, is that, like you said, this was a coup. There was no doubt about it.
A coup in the United States, the best truth was presented by the people that took power. They're the ones who presented this best truth to keep us at bay and not go to war with an exchange with Russia. But instead, we had this default that we had a 10-year war in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bobby Kennedy had to go along with this. The only way that he could course correct or continue to have power was to either invent another coup against the Johnson administration, which the Russians informed me they thought he should.
Mm-hmm.
They were encouraging Robert Kennedy to effect another coup against Johnson. They didn't trust Lyndon Johnson. They didn't want Johnson in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that there was going to be somebody rogue that was going to send a missile to the Pentagon, and they were going to have to exchange. They were on high alert.
Right.
To Robert Kennedy's credit, he went ahead and stopped that and convinced everybody that he could be trusted, and they trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
That he would not pursue anything that would take us to war. They showed that it was a domestic coup, showed them the evidence involved. And the Russians put such a pressure on the Johnson administration to be eliminated from concern on this,
mm-hmm.
that the Johnson administration put out the Warren Commission almost solely to eliminate the possibility to take the Russian government off the hook, not for the American people.
Exactly. Well, Christopher, you have your hands on all this information that you've accumulated by way of Evelyn Lincoln, JFK's secretary, from 1951 to 1963. And the government understands that you have this information. You've got these logs, and they come after you.
Well, they did. The government was aware that this information had transferred. I was contacted by CSIS, the Canadian Intelligence Services. They contacted CIA. Everybody was on point that this information had transferred, and it had been a long time, but nobody knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA wasn't familiar with how much material was there or what it was involving. The Kennedy family didn't know. This information had been Robert Kennedy had been very smart about how he handled this, and the government thought that all this was going to fall under the agreements that Robert Kennedy was forced to make in 1965 under a deed of gift for the United States government. But the wording of that document is very clever, and it says all the materials from the assassination and the Kennedy administration that are currently in your possession, we give up right and title and interest. Bobby Kennedy had specifically kept this material back for his own power structure, for his own investigation of his brother's murder, and for history. Mm-hmm. And that's the material that we had to review. That's what we had to look at, the hard facts of what was actually taking place with the death of President Kennedy and what Robert Kennedy had to face.
Well, I can tell. I mean, you and I could be talking for days about this, and we've got, less than 4 minutes remaining here. You bring up something that heretofore I've not heard about, and that is the Cartier watch, which was an anniversary gift from the First Lady to JFK. And you say there was some stunning evidence there with that watch.
The Cartier watch was something that President Kennedy had any materials on him that he usually wears withheld from him on that morning. The reason for that, Johnson's Secret Service had pulled some of that material back to make sure there was nothing on him that would deflect a bullet that day, that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cartier watch happened to be in Jackie Kennedy's purse. President Kennedy had put it on the flight to Love Field. Nobody knew that it was there. When President Kennedy was assassinated, that watch was several inches away from the frontal impact shot. The friends were around that hit him in the head. There was evidence of that, fractures on the watch that showed the impact, and there was also forensic evidence on that that determined the impact of the front.
Mm.
So the watch was given to a person called O.P. Wright, which is the head of security at Parkland Hospital, along with a bullet that came off a stretcher. The
right.
bullet was used for the Warrens Commission to wrap this up with the American people. The watch went to Robert Kennedy direct, secretly taken out of Parkland Hospital, and he used that to prevent World War III and keep us out of war with Russia.
How was he able to do that?
He was able to get enough evidence within 24 hours, maybe even sooner than that, through his trusted person with the Secret Service, who was responsible. All the evidence was filtering through him back in Washington. And along with this watch and other ballistic evidence that came from the car and from the autopsy, he was able to determine that there was a coup that took place, there was multiple shots that took place, and that his brother was assassinated on a domestic coup. He needed to find that out very, very quickly
mm-hmm.
and determine that information quickly so that he could contact the back channels of the Russian government and take them off point on this.
Right. Who did they determine? I mean, as far as Bobby Kennedy was concerned, in the movie it depicts that, the mafia, he had there's a recurring name out of Florida, a mafia boss there. But after everything was said and done here, Christopher, what was the conclusion of Bobby Kennedy of who killed his brother?
One of the things that Bobby Kennedy was concerned about, and he's a very interesting individual, is not who exactly pulled the trigger, but who was behind, who wanted
the orchestration, right?
The orchestration of this,
right.
and other than the intelligence services' false flag attempt to force President Kennedy into a corner, which he was well aware of, it was Lyndon Johnson who gave the order to withhold these personal possessions of President Kennedy that morning, and it was Lyndon Johnson who was aware that this assassination was going to go full forward. So it was Lyndon Johnson's control, and Lyndon Johnson was aware of this, and that really showed him that this administration was complicit and illegal.
We're talking CIA mafia as well, right?
We're talking about the agency being involved as well, and the mafia as well, because they were part of that that whole process through all that period, even World War II onward.
Well, this conversation needs to continue, Christopher Fulton. Thank you so much for coming on. The book, The Inheritance, Poisoned Fruit of JFK's Assassination. Where can they go for more information?
They should go to C.M. Fulton. That's C.M. Fulton, FULTON.com. They can get more information. They can see federal documents from the federal case, and they can order the book through Amazon or through us, and we will give to charities that we have interest in if they want to order directly through us. But I appreciate you having me on, Bill.
Thank you. We look forward to having you back, Christopher. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs.
After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Bacon lovers.